Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom and Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. Look out, Sharia's coming. Sharia's coming. As we pointed out last week, there is a controversy today about whether or not there is a danger that Islamic law, called Sharia, can be a threat to our American court system. For example, when a Wyoming legislator recently proposed that their state constitution be amended to deny any future recognition of the Islamic legal system into our state courts, the response was that to do so would send a message that Wyoming is prepared to discriminate against other cultures and religions. Well, today I want to explore two issues that bear on the topic. The first is a lack of real understanding recorded here of the true nature of Islam and or Sharia law. There is no moral equivalence between religions and cultures, and it is especially so between our Christian faith and the Muslim faith. And this not only shows up in the major doctrines of these two religions, but also between their ethics and systems of human rights, from which our Constitution derives its major values. For just one example, is this following belief the same as in our Constitution or our Christian faith? Since Islam is a theocracy, there is no true religious freedom for those who are unfaithful to the Muslim faith. Many Islamic countries subscribe to the law of apostasy, which says that if you are a Muslim and convert to being a Christian, the penalty is death. This is based in part on what Muhammad once said. It is no way to be permitted to shed the blood of a Muslim who testifies, "There is no God except God, and I am apostle of God," except for three crimes, one of which is he abandons his religion and is separated from the community. And many case studies in history of Islam will show that this is in fact practiced as Sharia law. In 2009, a Harvard Muslim chaplain created quite a stir on campus when he emailed a student that despite some differences in Islamic law, most traditional authorities agree that in countries under Muslim governance, the proper punishment for apostasy is death. Now, he later said, "I do not hold this opinion personally," but not everybody was convinced, so some called for his dismissal. But what he said was true. In 1990, the Cairo Declaration Regarding Human Rights in Islam was drafted by 57 Islamic countries declaring that all rights are subject to the Islamic Sharia, and that included the death penalty for apostasy. After all, Muhammad did say, "Slay those who change their religion of Islam." And as one Muslim scholar put it, leaving Islam is the ugliest form of unbelief, and as such there are still stories today of Muslims being killed because they leave their faith. A second issue that enters the controversy is whether or not our constitutional rights could ever be invaded and eroded by Sharia law. Now, I want to share with you today why this idea may not be so far-fetched. When you consider the trend in the legal leadership that is being appointed in our nation today, including Supreme Court justices, that someday could put us at risk. For example, when our current president picked the legal counsel to our State Department, he chose Harold Call, who was on record in favoring transnational interpretations of our Constitution and was quoted in the New York Post as saying, in an appropriate case, he did not see any reason why Sharia law would not be applied to govern a case in the United States. Secondly, then when our president nominated Sonita Sotomayor as a Supreme Court judge in 2009, she said, "We should also question how much we have to learn from international courts, which would of course include Sharia." By the way, she also questions a real interpretation of our Second Amendment's right to bear arms. And more recently, in 2010, our president nominated Alina Kagan to the Supreme Court, knowing that she had not only denied ROTC entrance on the Harvard campus because of the "don't ask, don't tell" policy, which, by the way, she violated federal law. She was also an avid champion of abortion and reproductive freedom. She talks about a living constitution rather than a literal constitution, and she is an advocate now on the Supreme Court for Sharia as having a legitimate role to play in American life. Now, with these legal leaders in place, and maybe more to come, who, by the way, don't seem to take seriously when they take the oath to support our Constitution, we do have to wonder if it will ever come under siege. And as Glenn Beck once said, once we sign our rights over to international law, our Constitution is officially dead. Look out, Sharia's coming. Join us next week at the frontier where our freedoms and faith are being attacked.
Thank you for listening. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of GSAE or the Mars Hill Network.